from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Ursula, I have no idea why the 9 o'clock hour went so fast. I was not ready for
since
it to
it's
be
Monday.
Teen.
Yes.
Was it me or did it go fast for you too?
It did.
I'll tell you what went fast. That blame it on the boogie that you told me you liked over there.
Hey, that was good stuff. That was a good Nick. Hey, Ursula, have you noticed Nick's tunes?
Yes, and so have our listeners. If you like what he's playing, let us know. If there is something that you would like to hear as part of our bumps, let us know that too. Bumps are the music that we do in and out of each segment. So,
but you know what's you know what I love about it is these songs that he's playing.
Yeah,
these are Ursula tunes.
Yeah,
and I know
love them.
You get excited about that.
Yeah.
So do you, man. You were texting me. You're like, this is a jam, man.
Oh, don't tell the people I said that. don't tell the people.
I didn't know that was between you and me, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
Between me and you, man. Hey, coming up at 10:30 on the show today, Mike Salk will join us to talk about what's going on with the Seattle Seahawks, the fact that they won yesterday, and if Pete and or Russell Wilson, will they be here with this next season? Because right now it's 10:07, Ursula, and Pete Carroll is still the head coach for our Seattle Seahawks. So Mike Salk joins us at 10:30. But right now it is time for the top three things that you need to know at 10.
Number one.
And the 60-day legislative session gets going today. A lot of big issues to tackle this time around. Homelessness, the new policing laws that need to be revised, and a whole lot more. But even though it is a new year and a new session, there's one thing that's going to remain the same. Most lawmakers will be working remotely. We are lucky, though, as we have in many other years, too. We've got Cairo News Radio's Hannah Scott covering the legislative session, and she joins us now. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Ursula. Good morning, G.
So tell us right off the bat, what are the big issues? What specifically are we looking to see this legislative session?
So the two big issues are fixes, bills that were passed in previous sessions that aren't working out quite right. Those include policing bills and, of course, that long-term care tax that we're all supposed to start to pay. And we have several bills now that have been filed that will either repeal the tax, make various fixes. Some of the big issues with the tax are people who live out of state but are working in the state and are paying into that tax, they would not, under the way it's written now, ever be able to benefit from that because they live out of state. If you retire out of state after paying into it all the time here, benefits cannot be paid out once you move out and retire somewhere else. So those are some of the issues. Lori Jenkins, the House Speaker, she was actually the original sponsor of the bill and then became Speaker, so it was passed on to someone else. But she said, yes, they are very much prioritizing the fixes. The current proposal would push this off for 18 months to the middle of 2023. She was asked at a session last week about the 450,000 people who have opted out of this or applied to opt out of this already, and whether that would mean that they're going to have to ask for more of our money to make this work.
A pretty high number of opt-outs. One of the things I'm pleased about is I went back and looked last night. The original modeling for the program actually assumed this level of opting out. And that's what the premium was based on. So I don't think we will be in a difficult position in that regard. But this will provide some time for the actuaries to look at that and see if there's anything that we need to alter or do in order to address that issue.
So that's good news that it shouldn't go up, it sounds like, if it gets all worked out.
Okay, Hannah?
Yes.
If they see that 450,000 people opted out and many people also wanted to, I'm sorry, I may be asking the obvious, but
no, I know.
If so many people opted out, and the only reason I didn't opt out because I didn't have time because mm-hmm. like many people, we got squeezed out with the time. And so because they're giving us more time, our goal is to opt out. Why are they continuing with it when it's so unpopular?
They both all Democratic leadership will tell you is that we need to do something, because there's a great number of us who have not planned for our long-term health care needs down the line. And what people have to do is spend their way into poverty, is a phrase that you'll hear Speaker Jenkins use quite often. And I will say this, it's a situation that I have been through personally myself, having with my grandmother. I stayed home to care for her for a year. This money would have helped. I could have given her an extra year if I could have been paid as a caregiver for an extra year, and wouldn't have had to spend everything she had down so that she qualified to Medicaid, mm-hmm. and then went into a, you know, borderline level nursing home where she was miserable until the day she died. So her quality of life would have improved. So that's why I kind of see why the need is for this. It costs the state a lot of money too when everyone does that through Medicaid, and in the end that then circles back to us, the taxpayers, right? So that's the argument that you'll hear from the Democrats that are behind this. But the Republicans are like, look, this is a bad plan. We understand that there's a need, but here's Republican Senator John Braun, and he's like, we need to tear this one down.
We can delay it. I'm certainly not going to oppose delaying it, but I think we'd be better off repealing it, starting over, working on the problem from scratch, and really including everyone in the conversation instead of pushing this across as a partisan solution. Include everyone. You can get a better balance, better solution that fits everyone around the state.
And so I don't know exactly what that looks like, but
I would agree with that only because even the amount, was it 36 or 37,000
right.
max,
which, mm-hmm.
is nothing.
But it's never, and that's the important thing to remember, is that it never was intended to pay for your, you know, full-time nursing home care. It is meant for that caregiver that you bring in once a week, or to right now family members who stay home to care for a relative that has some kind of an issue. They cannot be paid through the state. They could under this bill. That money would be allowed for that. So again, like in my situation, that would have helped, but that's not everyone's situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a social program, right? So it's the needs of the many kind of outweigh the needs of the few, or whatever you want to say. So that's what they see it as the Democrats. One thing I want to add is that there's a bill out there that would fix one of the issues with trying to opt out of this, was that insurance companies stopped even offering this because they became very concerned that people would do what they did at the beginning of car insurance being required, which is go ahead. Yeah, we'll buy our policy so we can prove we have it. And then next month, we're just not going to pay it. So that would become not allowable under a bill that's in there, too.
Gee, you had a list of things that people want to see in this session. Was homelessness one of them?
Yeah, one of the homelessness was number one. The economy was, these are the things that they want addressed in this legislative session. Mm-hmm. Homelessness being number one, economy being number two, and COVID being number three. So those are the top three things that the people want to see addressed in this legislative session.
COVID is like kind of a wide ranging issue, but there's definitely, you know, there's federal dollars. I think it's a billion federal COVID dollars that are still there to play around with, that you'll see going towards things like our ongoing COVID response and testing and all of those types of things. Also on the emergency powers in this preview session I was in on Friday, that all of the leaders of the legislature, they all seem to agree that there should be some movement on oversight of emergency powers. We're 700 days into the governor plus of the governor kind of doing most of this solo, and they want to have a little bit more legislative involvement. So it sounds like middle ground to an all out, you know, requiring the full legislature being able to decide what the governor can do and cannot do. Everyone seems to think there should be emergency powers, but there should also be legislative oversight. So we'll see what that looks like. I expect some bills on that to get a hearing. On homelessness, the governor's supplemental budget proposal, I believe it's $800,000 or so that he has. It's a tremendous investment.
$800,000?
Yeah. Right. 850, right? So, yeah, almost $1 million.
Okay. And he won't. Okay. So that's because I was going to say that sounds kind of low if that's a major investment, but maybe my mind is.
It's not low.
Okay.
It's not. You would think, but
yeah.
It's not. If you're looking at the federal level, for sure that's low. At the state level, not so much. And that's specifically for, I believe, various types of housings and shelter and supportive services and things like that. And then on the flip side, you have housing, affordable housing, things like that. So you've got a bill that would make it state control for zoning laws. That would be, you know, triplexes, duplexes, quads, things like that can be built in pretty much anywhere all across the state in order to quickly increase our supply of housing that can be affordable and help renters and all of that. Doesn't sound like all of the leadership, though, are on board. They like local control. So we'll see something probably in the middle there. There's also several other bills that would help with housing affordability kind of thing. So that ties into the homelessness. But
okay. And I just did look it up because that is low. It is $800
million. Million, I'm sorry.
Yes. I was like, man, they ain't going to... If they're not cracking a million...
You're at 800,000. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You're right.
Hey, thank you, Hannah. We will continue to
one more thing I want to throw out before you go. I just want everyone to know that policing bills reforms are... the fixes to those bills are very high priority. We'll see our first hearings on those bills tomorrow.
Perfect. And we'll get you back on to find out what direction they go with that, because that certainly has been problematic. Thank you, Hannah.
You bet.
Number two.
So it was big news over the weekend and very sad news. Comedian Bob Saget has died. He was found dead in his hotel room in Orlando, Florida. And detectives say drug use and foul play are not believed to be factors in his death. And the tributes to him have been pouring in. The Olsen twins have released a statement saying that he was the most loving, compassionate, and generous man. They're deeply saddened he's no longer with us, but know that he will continue to be our side to guide us as gracefully as he always has. Gee, I know that you were a Full House fan.
Yes. And so when you ask me about that, I'm like, wait a minute, Ursula? Wasn't everybody? But then I forgot. Yeah, I mean, you're a little bit older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, yes, Ursula, absolutely loved it. Loved watching it when it came out in the 80s. He was Danny Tanner. And of course, the Olsen twins, and they were little girls back then. But I loved everything about it. DJ Tanner, by the way, don't tell anybody, but I had a crush on DJ Tanner back in the day. So I absolutely loved it. And what stands out to me was... he had just posted at 12:42 a.m. and he had just did a show, and on his Twitter he tweeted and said, "Love tonight's show in Jacksonville. Appreciative of the audience. Thanks again to Real Tim Wilkins for opening. I had no idea I did a 2-hour set tonight. I'm happily addicted to this stuff again." And then he talks about his tour dates, and he was due to be in Spokane, Washington, Ursula, next month. He was due to be there. And Bob Saget is 65 years old, and if you see him, he does not look 65. I think he looks amazing. And I think that what we have gone through over the last, 7 months to lose Norm Macdonald, you know what I mean? And to lose Betty White and now Bob Saget, I agree that right now this world is less funny because of those three individuals. And so, man, I had to look at it like three times yesterday. Like, wait a minute.
65.
And it looked good. It's still 65. It's still young.
It is young. The other thing that struck me, though, is just how unanimous in praise people are about what made him so special, that he was loving and compassionate and generous and always found a way to show how much he cared for the people he worked with.
Sure.
And you know, when you think about it, at the end of the day, you want to leave that kind of legacy. His time was cut way too short, but It's really sad when we lose people like that. Like you said, you know, someone who you just think is going to be around forever.
And that's kind of how I feel about Full House and Danny Tanner. I mean, sometimes
and there was Fuller House. There was the Netflix sequel.
A lot of times it's hard for me sometimes to, because we're talking about mainstream television. We're talking about television back in the day before all of these gazillion channels that we have today. This is back then where no matter if you're white, black, no matter what culture you were, we were watching the same things during that time. And Full House was just, that's what you did. Everybody in my class, everybody in school, everybody in our neighborhood, we watched Full House. So when you think about Bob Saget, you think about Danny Tanner. Like, he's going to be here forever. And so when he passed, like, I was legit sad yesterday, Ursula.
I know. Okay, so we're going to go on to another topic, and this one's going to be a little bit tricky.
Number three.
So the next big diet fad might be to not try to lose weight. And there is a very active anti-diet movement. And this is where people don't try to change their weight. You may have seen it on social media. I've certainly seen it on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talking about instead of relying on weight or your BMI, your body mass index, there are dietitians and nutritionists who say just stop dieting and put more emphasis on things like your endurance, your sleep, and your mental well-being. But there's also a lot of pushback from the medical community because the medical community overwhelmingly thinks that weight is a crucial barometer of how healthy you are. So, and there is, you know, there are decades of scientific research that will link higher weight to increased chances of everything from heart disease and cancer and diabetes and many other illnesses. You've seen this too, and I know you have done a transformation over the last year. I got to say, when I saw you this morning on our Teams meeting, not only did you have a new haircut, but you were looking fit.
Well, thank you, Ursula. Well, I'm doing this new thing, like, and it all started because somebody said, oh, gee, how long have you been bald? They had said that to me, and I haven't really posted a lot of pictures of myself right now on Facebook. And so I thought to myself, Ursula, I was like, you know what? I'm going to grow my hair out a little bit. And so I have hair now. I have a beard now. And so I'm trying to do this look. And then Lillian said she kind of likes it. And so, you know what? I'm going to keep it. But I want to talk about.
But over the last year also, you have been so good. You started up a group, a support group on Facebook.
Yes, I did.
To. What's the name of it again? I'm sorry.
Too late. It's not too late. Came not too late to be great.
That's right. Not too late to be great.
Yeah.
And it started from last New Year.
Yeah.
And it was just a chance to try to improve your health. But there is this real pushback right now. So there is this group that says, hey, don't bug me about how much I weigh. Don't look at it. And frankly, don't look at your weight. And it should be about intuitive eating and basically trying to focus on other things like your sleep, your mental health, which I love all those things. But I also see where people attack other people who have lost weight. And when there are some people who, and some of them are influencers, some are just regular folks who get a lot of followings because they have dropped a lot of weight. And there are people who say, are you trying to say that I'm not beautiful because I am overweight?
No.
Wait, what are you, why are you laughing?
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like,
right, but you see that where it's like, no. it's this feeling like you're being fat phobic or you're criticizing other people who are not losing weight because you've lost weight and you say you feel a lot better about the way you look or the way you feel. And you see these people who've lost the weight having now to apologize.
Right. I remember, Ursula, I don't know. Things are changing every day. And if you wait 5 minutes and you feel like you haven't offended someone, you just wait about 5 minutes. You will probably offend someone. Like, I remember that there was a time that I came to you and Ursula, I'm like, oh my gosh, Ursula, you look fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to someone now and you tell them, oh my goodness, you look fantastic because they lost weight, you might offend them. And you have to be careful now. And because you think you're given a compliment, and where they say now, the experts say, don't say anything. And I'm like, okay, well, you want to be complimentary. You know, I mean, it would be like your coworker
or struggling just to say, well, okay, what's the right thing to say?
What do you do, Ursula? Somebody loses 25 pounds, walks in, and nobody says anything.
Yeah, it depends on how well I know somebody. Obviously, if I know someone's been working on their weight loss, heck, I'm going to say it. Gosh, it's just like, you've been working really hard, I can tell. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But to compliment someone about their weight loss, I don't think needs to for the people, I need to better understand this, because there are people who say, well, now you're saying I'm not attractive because I'm overweight. You know, the whole idea of it becoming now something negative to say I feel like I look better because I've lost weight. It's very confusing.
Yeah. Coming up next, Ursula, Mike Salk from the Mike Salk Show will join us to have a conversation and to discuss what's going on with the Seattle Seahawks and what's the future for Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show, continuing with the great music. Thank you, Nick. Text us at 888-973-5476. And for those of you who had a chance to watch the Seahawks end the season on their high note, I guess that was our Super Bowl, right? That's what we're told.
I'll take it. Ursula.
We've got a guest.
It was fun.
Yes, it was tons of fun. 710 ESPN's Mike Salk joins us right now, and you had a puzzled look on your face. I heard someone say this was our Super Bowl.
Who did you hear say that?
Wasn't it G?
Probably.
Wasn't it someone from the Seahawks who said it was kind of the Super Bowl?
You know what? No, don't even give this Mike Salk dude ammunition. You see how he comes on the show and just assumes it was me? Good morning to you too, Mike.
What's up, man? How are we doing?
Well, look. We don't have a chance to go into the playoffs.
How come G's not crowing today? He's been right. He's been saying
Pete Carroll's about to.
Oh, okay, good.
He's about to.
I know it can only last so long, so Pete is going to be here, and he certainly made that pretty clear yesterday. G was one of a few people in town, myself included, who've been saying that for some time. But generally, when G's right about anything, it takes like an hour and a half for him to get it all out of his system. So let's go, my man. Tell us how right you were.
So no one's going anywhere. Is that what it is?
Well, Pete's not going anywhere.
What did Pete say to you on your show, by the way, the Mike Salk Show on 710 ESPN? You hear that show from 6 to 10. What did Pete tell you about Russell Wilson today?
He said Russ is happy. He loved winning, had a big smile on his face last night, and his expectation is that Russ is his quarterback moving forward.
I told you.
And there are other...
You did.
Congratulations,
because, G. But the thing is, because my name ain't Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter, I give you guys nuggets. I drop bombs and nuggets on you guys, and nobody just pays attention.
How do you know no one pays attention?
You don't pay attention. How
do you know
that? Show and tell you.
What are you talking about? I pay plenty of attention. I certainly don't pay any attention to what Ian Rappaport has to say. That's for darn sure. Look, saying it today and having it be the case, we'll wait and find out. I mean, you know, this offseason will be an interesting one. The next thing that has to happen is what will Russell do? Right. In the past, he's had his agent kind of do his dirty work for him and say, maybe I'm not happy. Maybe I want to do this. We talked about it last week, saying this sort of feels like kind of a failed coup. And what do you do afterwards? Yeah. Can you be, you know, can you reconcile? Yeah. I'm curious to see how Russell handles it this time. I did hear Colin Cowherd today already. That's one of Russell's agent's guys. You know, talking about how John Schneider needs to have bigger say in personnel and needs to stand up to Pete Carroll and this and that. So, you know, you'll get the chance to see kind of what that narrative that Russ wants out there is, but it's not going to happen today.
I've been divorced a few times, and I know what it's like when counsel gets in the way of what's going on with the marriage. Is this kind of what happens with the agent of Russell Wilson?
Well,
because it's kind of seemed like everything's cool, but then it's always the agent that's either allegedly said something or someone that he had talked to the other media member. What happens there?
Depends who hired the counsel. When it broke up in the relationship. I mean, when one person hires the counsel and they're already meeting with the counsel and then everybody comes together with the counsel, well, maybe that therapist has, like, you know, one-sided view of the whole thing. You know, who hired Mark Rogers? Right. I mean, that's Russell Wilson. And I think for a long time, it was sort of easy to divorce the two in our mind and say Russell is one thing, his agent is another. But after so many years of hearing this stuff, eventually you got to say if Russ didn't want that stuff out there, he'd make it stop.
Right. So I have already admitted that I was wrong and I do want Russell Wilson back. I think it would be hard to find someone of his caliber to replace him. But what about the folks who have said, the fans who have said, yeah, we're done, maybe let's just see what we can get for him? Why would this be a good thing if Russell stays, the coach stays, John Schneider stays, and yet we have this crummy, what would be the difference then next year?
Well, it's a really good question, and something has to be different. I think the argument, and Pete Carroll said it this morning to me, he believes they're this close. I mean, he believes that, you know, with an injury to their quarterback and some things that they can kind of tweak in the offseason, that they can be close. I don't know that I entirely agree with that. I mean, I would agree with him that no one wants to play them right now, right? No one's going to have to because their season is done. But if they were to continue, the Seahawks are getting hot at the right time of year. They just dug themselves a little too deep a hole to get out of. But, you know, there has to be some level of accountability that they were mediocre enough to be brought back, to be brought down by the things that brought them down this year. And if they had Super Bowl championship level talent, then maybe they would have only dropped to 10-7 instead of 7-10, if that makes sense. So there is some work to be done this offseason. They need a better pass rush. They need a better offensive line. That work needs to happen up front for them. So we'll see what they do.
Okay, real quick, because it was
also a big story. Whatever it is, G will be right about it when it's all said and done.
Quandre Diggs, best case scenario for him. Ugh.
Poor kid. But, you know, the one thing I will say, as bad as it looks like, you know, today, is he, he hurt his ankle and hurt his tibia, or fibula rather. I think the market will still be okay for him. I think teams will recognize he's a great player and that he's going to be healthy by next year.
Hey, Salk, before you go, I have a challenge for you.
A challenge.
Yeah. Seahawks season is over, but you have a job to do for us here on our station. You need to help us get excited about this Mariner season coming up.
What Mariner season?
Well, I know they're locked out right now.
But I mean, as of now, there is no season.
Yeah, well.
Well,
what are you going to talk about for the next few months?
Yeah, what are you going to talk about?
Let me see your show sheet. What do you guys got going on over there?
COVID?
Yes.
Okay,
Omicron?
No. Every day we cannot talk about
homelessness?
COVID. Yes. Homelessness for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Shama Sawant?
On 710 Sports?
Every day? Yes.
Okay.
The recall? Absolutely.
That,
Ursula?
That happened. That didn't happen.
Happy birthday to my daughter Avery today. That's what we're going to be talking about. 10
Avery,
years old. What's
happy
up?
Birthday. 10 years old. Sorry about your dad, but happy birthday to you.
Chris, why do you let him talk this way to me?
I'm just filling in.
What do you mean you're just filling in? Why don't you show some backbone? Don't let him talk this way.
Right, okay, goodbye. Goodbye, Mike.
See you guys.
Coming up next, in this next scenario, Ursula, should you date the boss?
Okay, Mike
next.
Salk was our boss at one point.
Yeah, gee, what are you trying to say?
You and I never dated, Mike. Come on. Anyway, it's an HR issue. Coming up next, scenarios, Gene Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it will be time for Agree to Disagree. Ursula, you doing all right now?
I totally am. This is this is from Rob.
Yeah.
This is a suggestion from Rob. Okay.
Okay. All right. Scenarios, let's get to
it. Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I feel like, Ursula, you're the best person that can answer this. I started dating my boss about 6 months ago. Nobody knows. It's not against company policy, but it would be awkward because it's a small company and everyone is pretty close. My best friend, who I totally trust and has great judgment, is telling me I have to make a decision. Either go public with the relationship or end it. She says if people find out they're on their own, it will be a lot worse. She's probably right. So I talked to him about it, and he doesn't think it's a good idea. For now, he wants to keep things quiet and see how things go. They've been going well for 6 months. So what is the holdup? I think he's being weird about it. He says dating the boss will make me look bad, and he doesn't want my reputation damaged. I am proud of our relationship, and I want to show off my guy. So I have a lot of questions. Is he right? Should we keep it quiet? Or is there something else going on here that I should be worried about? If he's not willing to be public, should I end the relationship? But if I do, won't that be even more awkward at work? I'm in a bind. What should I do? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
Your friend is right. Your boss is wrong. Your boss doesn't want you to share because he knows he is doing something wrong. The whole... You are treading in very dangerous territory. You're in very dangerous territory when you are a boss and you are dating someone that you are supervising. And it is something that the company doesn't want. And also, it's not going to make her look bad. It's going to make him look bad. So right there, I feel like he is being shady. I think if it's something that they can't have, I mean, it's really discouraged in the workplace, because you know what's going to happen if it doesn't work out well? You know what can happen? I mean, the company, small as it is, could be facing legal action, because then it'll be, well, you know, was he taking advantage of the situation, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a bad idea. So I'm believing the friend. If you can't do it, be upfront about it. It's just going to be worse later.
One of our awesome listeners, Colby, just texted in and says, tell that person to watch the morning show on Apple TV. They'll easily be able to make a decision after that. By the way, I've been telling you, Ursula, to watch the morning show.
I know.
It is really, really good, and you'll really relate to it. I'm going to simplify it. And I know that there's some of our listeners, I know some of you guys have married someone you worked with, or you married the boss. I get it. And sometimes it does work. But most of the time it doesn't. And when it doesn't work, it's ugly. It can be ugly, I should say. And here's a situation where you're dating the boss. He doesn't want to go public. You want to go public. And now you have questions. And so these are some of the reasons why I personally discourage dating at the office. Just a lot of no-win situations happen. So
I know of one time it's worked out in the whole 33 years that I've been at Cairo.
Think about that for a second, Ursula. 33 years and it's worked out once. Mm-hmm. Again, we're going to have some people texting in saying that they're married. I get it. Congratulations to you. Here, I'll simplify it. If this man can't go public with you, if he can't go public with you, then this isn't the one for you. You need to move on. And I always tell you, there's 7.4 billion people in the world. There's somebody that would want to be public with you.
And if it doesn't work out, the aftermath is just terrible. It's just a big mud pile.
Yeah,
it is. Well, what about this, though?
What's that?
Okay, so bosses is one thing, but what about dating other people in the company?
I mean, how about this? That I believe that has more of a success rate than dating the boss. I think that's kind of safer. I know that coworkers, that can possibly happen. I don't suggest it, but it sometimes it works out. What's your thoughts on coworkers dating?
Well, I think it works best if you're in totally different departments, and I have seen that work actually really well here at Cairo.
Okay.
As long as you're in different departments, that you are not a supervisor of that person or have any relation to whether that relationship goes well. Because I've also seen where one part of the relationship ends up getting laid off. So one person gets laid off and the other one still has a job there, and it does get awkward. But it's not as awkward if you aren't in the same department. If you imagine if you're working in the same department and then one of you loses your job.
Mm-hmm.
It just would feel, it would just put you and others in this very awkward position. But I have seen it actually work with people in different departments. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because how much time do you stay at work?
Right.
I mean, especially when we were working in your office. You know, now, where can you meet people that you end up dating?
Online.
I know, exactly. If you don't want to do it online, though,
right,
I mean.
Right. You can't. Everybody got masks on. You can't even see their face. 360 text in, and I got to roll with 360 on this. They said, who wants to be anyone's secret and why?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, I'm with you, 360. Who and why would you want to be a secret? Nobody wants to be a secret. You know what I mean?
I'm proud of, like, the person I'm with, you know?
Absolutely.
Show them off, you know?
And I'm going to tell you. I don't want to make this a why, no, because I can hear Ursula now. Gee, stop with the sweeping statements. but if I were to make a sweeping statement, Ursula, this is what I would say. I'm not saying it, but this is what I would say. When men find someone that they absolutely are excited about, do you know how fast they post them and talk about them?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But again, that's a sweeping statement. I'm not going to make it. We got to go.
But the other thing that's got to be a big, fat red flag. Him saying, well, it's not going to make you look good. No,
absolutely.
Dude. It's not going to make you look good.
Coming up next, Agree to Disagree. Johnny Tsunami. That's next.